Welcome to Between Our Sundays.
This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God.
Well, happy Sunday, Chrissy.
Happy Sunday, Kenny.
How are you today?
I'm fantabulous today.
But we got a lot to talk about today. It's not really a lot, but we're going to bring up a whole lot because there's a lot that's been on my mind.
Ooh.
But let's do a little intro here. So what episode did we determine this was today?
It is episode 17.
17. And today would be the 31st of August. So
yes.
The last day of the month. And
last,
I think
last
this
part.
Is,
go ahead.
I think this is kind of like the last day of what we consider summer, right? Once the 1st of September hits, isn't that officially the fall season?
I don't know, something like that. I'm already inviting fall in with all my browns and
autumn colors.
Autumn colors.
Pumpkins will be out. I actually have a bag of pumpkins on the counter.
Yep.
I love them.
Those orange waxy sugar balls.
They're delicious.
They're not delicious.
They really are, especially when you eat more than you're supposed to and you get completely sick from
the
sugar rush.
I am indulging myself in a box of Mike and Ike's and sour watermelons. They're pretty tasty.
They are pretty good.
So last time we podcast, we were at the beginning of 7 days of prayer and pretty powerful. I think it was a pretty powerful time leading into that week. It was a wonderful week. And I know during that podcast, we kind of talked about some different things. And one of the things for me was fasting. And while I didn't do a full fast as I had planned, I found myself closer to God that week and prioritizing time in the Word and prioritizing time in prayer and going, you know, that organized prayer each day was just so powerful and so wonderful. I don't feel like, although in that time I didn't fast specifically, I don't think God did any less in my life personally than what would have happened if I was full fasting. I tend to overthink things and set myself in these places of such high expectation that and I struggle to give myself grace when I don't fit into that box and that idea of what I wanted. And it was really amazing to walk through the week, even though in my flesh I felt like I had failed. God kept affirming to me in His presence that He was still there, and I think that was just a wonderful one of many wonderful movements throughout the week.
No,
for
I would completely agree with you, and you know, we got to go through it, and it was once a day for this particular version of our prayer versus kind of the twice a day, and it really gave me something to look forward to. It never became something, even throughout my busy days, you know, as working a job right now that has kind of got me on my toes with a lot of additional effort that's here, there, and everywhere. The days were still long on my end, but I still was ready to come. I was ready for that reprieve, almost. It's almost like I could count on that portion of the day to slow down a little bit and kind of block out the rest of the noise for an hour to say, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to be available. I'm not going to be on the phone. I'm just going to sit and focus and pray and journal and just kind of learn a little bit about what God is talking to me in. And one of the things that He continued to say to me that week was that for me in particular, growth is healthy. And it's something that I've sort of struggled with, and not at all the topic that was meant to be brought up here, but for me, sometimes I feel guilty over growth. Am I growing out of flesh, or am I growing out of greed? Am I growing out of human desire? Like, why am I growing, or what am I trying to grow from or to? And the whole week, I got a constant affirmation that the growth is really a part of Him. It is really a part of His seeds. And it's not to say that we can't somehow taint that sometimes, but God's not giving you the places and the spaces to expand unless He's got a plan for that expansion. And when we take the time to really put Him at the forefront of that expansion, you begin to really see, this is why you have me moving to this area. These are the doors that you're opening up. And it's not for fame and fortune and lights and a marquee. It's usually because there's another you know, fishing hole available for you to be a part of. There's another place for you to go and sow seeds of our faith and begin to just open yourself up to the places that you wouldn't have otherwise stumbled upon. And so that was the affirmation that I got, was that growth is okay, but you have to do it in a measure of truly trusting God in the growth. And then having the eyes to see the vision. The vision, again, has to be centered around what He has for you. And when you can see it from that perspective, it becomes a whole lot more enriching.
Right.
So I told you that we didn't have a plan coming in here because you said, hey, what are we going to podcast about? And I said, hey, why don't you just get in the box, put your headset on, you follow me, I'll ask questions, and then we'll come on.
Okay.
So this is coming out of a little bit of left field, but one of the things that we just got to finish up is a little bit of an interview tape that we did with Chrissy. And we did a whole bunch of takes over and over and over because we had to get this interview tape correct, essentially. We needed to make sure the presentation embodied the presentation that was supposed to be given. And we got a lot of laughs out of it, to be honest with you, because
yes,
when you're doing it on tape, when you're doing it on a video, it all has to look right. Even though you're preparing to do something live, which when you mess up with your live, you just got to keep going.
Right.
The point was is that you started and stopped a whole bunch of times because you set for yourself sort of a standard or an outcome. It wasn't that you set for yourself perfection, but you did set yourself an outcome. Mm-hmm. This is what I want. This is what I feel comfortable with. And so I got to be on the other side of the camera doing the filming and watching as you went through take after take after take after take. And what I realized very quickly in that moment was that how often does that mirror the life that we put ourselves in? That we will go through every day. And every day is preparing for interaction with the world in one way or another. And many times what we're doing is we're sort of trying to put ourselves in this exact level of not perfection, but looking really polished so that the take is acceptable to everybody else. And if we peel that back for a second, if we sent our blooper reels out to Facebook, if that's what they saw of all the little things that we got wrong along the way, would they have the same reaction? Would they look at you with the same eyes of, oh, you guys have got it all together? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think that we're both guilty of it. I think a lot of us are, is looking at other people and go, man, I wish I could be more like person X because they seem to have it all together.
How much of their blooper reel don't we see, though?
That's right. And then what happens when somebody lets you into their blooper reel? Mm-hmm. What happens when you do become such a friend with somebody or such a trusted ally with somebody that they let you in to the downfall or to the mistake, or even to the point that they know it was, sometimes we just have to call it what we call the sin that happened, whether it be an anger or it doesn't really matter what it was. But when somebody trusts you enough to go, man, I'm going to peel this back with you here. I really didn't do so good in this moment. Mm-hmm. I feel like it doesn't take away from that person. It doesn't take away from what you would have thought about them. I feel like it brings you closer to them because you're able to have a humanic relationship with them now, not one that is driven on perfection.
But it's very vulnerable. You have to be, in order to have those relationships and to grow, you have to be vulnerable. And I think when I'm looking at it and I'm sitting here, why were there so many takes? Why wasn't I able to get it right the first time? Well, I think I was so focused on the judgment that could come from what may be wrong, or if how is somebody going to perceive this and how is it going to be looked at? And you don't want to let anyone down. And you want to be qualified.
So you're walking me right into the exact thing because.
Mm. See, and I didn't even know. Look at that.
I did.
I didn't.
I know. Because I know you wouldn't have probably hit the point in the exact way that you're doing it because I'm getting your first take right now. Mm. I'm not getting your rehearsed take where you overthink it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in the bedroom, we came home from church today and we're just changing our clothes and kind of relaxing for the afternoon. And you know, we were just talking about things around life. And one of the comments that I think you said I collectively added to at some point was, you know, there's so much that we go through, so many trials and tribulations and takes that we go through. And a lot of them, it's not good. A lot of it's hurtful. A lot of it's painful. A lot of it's a lessons learned the hard way, for lack of saying it better.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get to the other end, you realize you have a story. You realize you have something that is shareable, connectable.
Right.
And I made kind of the off color or the off comment of, man, I wish I could get to the other side without the pain. I wish I could just get to the success side without having all of that pain and mistake along the way. And you immediately stopped me and said, but what would you have when you got there? How are you going to connect with anybody if you just made it?
Right.
It doesn't mean some things don't just work out, and that's absolutely fine.
Right.
But it does mean that a lot of times when you do have to work through some of the valleys,
mm-hmm.
when you get to the next hill or to the thing that you're trying to get across, it becomes a lot more rich for you because you really know what you had to do to get there.
Yep.
But take you out of the equation for just a second. Just put somebody else now in your shoes. You have the ability to now connect with them because they get to understand your blooper reel. They get to understand how many takes it took you to right. get there, because somebody's only going to see the one thing that you let them see. But then when you draw them in much closer to the center of your circle and say, no, that is the take that I gave you.
Mm-hmm.
But there was 10 times before that. That was 30 seconds of material that took me 30 minutes to make because I did it that many times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an overlaid portion of how I think sometimes we accidentally and incidentally live our life.
I think we live in a society where social media is so prevalent that it's easy for everybody to place up their highlight reels. It's easy. That's what everybody does. But then what happens is all of those that are viewing the highlight reels think that that's the everyday. How many takes all of these bloggers and vloggers and people who are, I love seeing the different social media people and following their stories. But what does it really look like behind the scenes? You know, what does it really look like when you're up with your toddlers at 2 a.m. because they're sick? Like, what does it look like after a week of not sleeping and exhaustion and, I don't know, your appliances are going out and, you know, just normal life challenges that the majority of the world are experiencing? I mean, we're, truth be told, it's the small amount of highlight, the highlight reels are just a small fraction of our life. And how many takes did it take to get there? So I definitely can relate and see where you're coming from. But I also think that we have to look inside of ourselves to analyze and really dig down deep into what is most important in my life. Is it me portraying perfection or me portraying who God has created me to be and be accepting of whatever feedback I get?
So do you think God sits up there sometimes like America's Funniest Home Videos and only runs the things in play sometimes? It's like, hey, guys, come here and watch what Kenny did today. Let me run this one back for you. You're not going to believe this. It's pretty good. So how do we go from that picturesque version of, you know, this is me with all the things set up exactly like I want. I got the lighting right. I got the sound right. It's all set up. Here it is, to becoming more vulnerable. What do you think the blocking point is for a lot of people? And, you know, because how many times do we come and go with folks? Hey, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm just fine. Are you though?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're at such a standstill to say that, what is stopping you from just saying for a moment, you know, I actually am really not fine. You know,
right.
I'm kind of in the dumps for pick a reason, fill it in. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have time, maybe you don't. You know, have people been hurt that many times by folks that won't listen to them? Or do they not feel valued? Is there a deeper root cause of just nobody has time to listen to me, or they don't? I mean, where do you sit in that? Like, what is that barrier for folks?
I think the barrier is a fear of rejection, because if you're already in a vulnerable state, if you're not trusting of other people, if you're not trusting of that person, or if you're not trusting to allow the Holy Spirit to place people in your life that are going to help you through that, I think that we can be prideful human beings, and we just ultimately, that little child inside of me is like, if I share this, what is someone going to think of me? Are they going to think that I'm unqualified to do God's work? I've grown so much and I've come so far. Am I going to be rejected by this community of people who I love? And I think that's how Satan gets into our heads, though, and it makes us want to think that in our failures, because that's, we're human, we're going to fail, that it's an end-all be-all. Now, don't get me wrong, there may be some seriously bad decisions that could be end-all be-alls in some cases. But in the normal day-to-day, like, how many couples hold within themselves the fact that they're struggling within their marriage because they don't want other people to know their struggles? How often have we? I mean, I think that we went years without having any real connection with other people because we were so broken. I don't know until, at least for myself, real genuine friendships for me haven't come until the last few years, just in the sense of I have friends from years ago, but now I have a community that is much different than any other community. And it's not God has placed some amazing women in my life and I'm very thankful, but God has softened my heart and allowed me to be open and vulnerable, because my natural gravitation is to isolate. So I am that person that can get on social media and be very, not judgy, but I can be very, like, compare my life to other people's highlight reels. So I'm comparing my real life, my real vulnerability, my real rawness, and what I see behind the curtain to what other people are choosing to put out on display. And sometimes I can get wrapped up in that comparison of what is she doing to have it all together? What is she doing to have it all together? Gosh, what is her daily schedule look like? So I can mimic that, because that, like, so.
So then we have two things that I hear really coming out of that rapidly. Thing number one is, if we look at the author of Destruction and we identify rapidly what he's so good at. And he's not good at fighting battles when they are amongst the many. He's not good at fighting battles when we're locked arm in arm. But he's very good at fighting battles when we're alone. He's very good at fighting your battles, or fighting with you, Satan, that is, when you're isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And when you believe that you've put on such a shell, and there's no way that can be broken, even though everything behind the shell is crumbling to the core, I believe he uses that point of isolation to come in and say, hey, you can't let anybody know that. Mm-hmm. If you do, that your whole world's wrecked. It's going to be turned upside down. What will they think of you? And
he knows that on the other side of that are godly people, because we have surrounded ourselves with such a godly community. Satan knows that the moment that we reach out, we're going to receive godly counsel.
But the literal version of this, like, if you just think of, I've set this wall, this glass that is one way. I can see out the glass, and I've made a set of quote unquote perfection for everybody to see. And I'm behind it. I'm crumbling. I'm breaking. But nobody knows that. The only way to get through that is what we could agree as a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you can break through is if you literally break through that exact exterior that you've put up. So metaphorically, yes, you need a breakthrough, but, you know, sometimes physically, you've got to tear that down. You've got to tear down that facade that you have set up for everybody to see or think they see, in order for you to really be seen, helped, healed, and then assisted through many times to get to that breakthrough,
right,
to the other side.
Right.
And it's probably a continual process, because I think we will do it and then we'll get to the other side. And then sometimes we'll isolate in other areas. Like, oh, there's there's no way, you know, okay, that one I can tell you about, but this one over here, this one is just too much. Mm-hmm. You know, we always believe there's one more that's too much. And so, you know, I very much can see that. And I think the other thing is sometimes we are creatures that are open to be heard, but not open to listen. And when you invite somebody into your circle, you really are inviting somebody in to listen, but you are inviting somebody in to offer their take on the situation too. And so I think sometimes people are afraid of what's going to be said.
For sure.
Are you going to tell me what I already know? Are you going to tell me what I've been fighting because you know it's the right answer and I know it too, but I don't want to hear it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think those become two quick barriers to why people resist so much being who they really are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's make this a little more real and down home and transparent. I think we can bring you guys these podcasts as we get to them. And I would say 90% or more of our podcasts are at points at which we're cohesive, not doing too bad with each other, or we've come through a breakthrough and are on the other side of it. So we're back to being somewhat mm-hmm. civil with each other. We've had a week this week that we had some moments that weren't so civil.
Mm-hmm.
We had a week this week where you had some very strong opinions on how I was conducting my life, the decisions that I was making, the ways that I was treating you, the ways that I was making you feel, the time management that I was putting in, the priorities that I was putting through, and just simply the lack of friendship that I was providing for you as your mate.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, I kind of had some of the same levels of complaint in that, hey, I think my statement to you was, I don't understand how you cannot be okay with what I'm doing. I have so much affirmation from all of these other people around me, and I'm not getting that affirmation from you. And so we came to a very big disconnect immediately. That sparked a fire between the two of us, which ended in us, I don't believe, getting anywhere in that conversation. We sort of left silent. We didn't finish it up. And we had to come back to that later. And I think we talked about this earlier today. I don't actually know that we came to any full-scale resolution with each other.
Nope.
I don't really know how we got through it. I don't really know what pushed us to the other side. I mean, I know God was very much involved, and I have a feeling that both of us in our moments prayed for strength and perseverance and forgiveness and all of the things that we should. And I don't doubt for a second that he wasn't involved, you know, but would you mind resharing what you shared with me kind of this afternoon when I said that to you, like, hey, I know we didn't really end this. So how did we get from, you know, frenemies to we're sitting beside each other on the couch chatting again? Like,
do you want me to repeat what I said earlier? Because I don't remember what I said.
Well, it was you can, you know, ballpark it.
I feel like God has brought us to a different place of relationship. If I look at where we've been over the last 20 years, our arguments and our discontent with each other were like end all be alls every time we fought. So now I feel like as we grow and mature, we can have disagreements. And I don't think anything has been solved. But I think sometimes we have to surrender our issues to God and let him work through the situation. Sometimes pauses are necessary. I do feel very strongly about the things that came up this week. And not that I don't want to talk about them. They're just very raw and vulnerable. Very, very intimate places in myself, because our where I place our marriage, I think we kind of have differing, I don't want to say opinions or but we have differing perspectives on where marriage falls. And not that, I don't think that you intentionally put our marriage at the bottom of the totem pole per se. I just think that you are built in driven to pursue things differently. And as we grow in our relationship with Christ, the hierarchy looks different. When you've lived in the world for so long and the world says success is here, it's in your job, it's in money, it's in stature, it's in title, like, you know, it's like you're ingrained to want more in a world sense. But as we are growing in Christ, that's not the hierarchy of what God says our lives should look like. And I think we're just in this growing phase of trying to figure out those priorities and figure out how to adjust our lives. But with that, I think it comes some conflict, and I think it comes some distance, for lack of better words. And as we're working through it within ourselves, I think God is working through each of us in these different circumstances. It's very complex. It's not just, oh, Kenny, I need you to make different decisions. Like, it's a very layered, very deep topic.
Well, it hits so many of the different layers and mm-hmm. of the levels mm-hmm. because it's a spiritual, there's an emotional, mm-hmm. there's a physical, mm-hmm. then there's a practical. I mean, it's yeah. like every different facet of how you could commune mm-hmm. is affected.
It is.
You know,
is.
Because
one affects the other affects the other. Without one, you don't have the other. With one, you have the other. Like, and who's supposed to act first? Is it you? Is it me? Is it which one triggers? Which one's more important? You know, we talk about intimacy and, you know, where does the physical come first, or is it the emotional that comes first? Which one has to be in place to trigger the other? And I think depending on who you talk to, you're going to say one thing and I'm going to say another because we are wired differently.
I'd like to think I look good enough for the physical to come first.
I'm just not even going to go there.
But you're absolutely right that there are true differences in the way that you see it. And
yes.
that's, we're not calling anything right or wrong necessarily
not
because
at all.
Different strokes for different folks. And
because I also think stuff there, I definitely think that there are things from our past that contribute to those perspectives too. I think that emotional baggage that maybe had come from teenage years, things that are really far down there in the trunk of hidden, I just want to bury that. Those little things created who we are today. They're things that happened in times before you and I even knew each other that contributed to our makeup mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. And we have all of this adulthood that we've just built on top of that. So it's really hard to go back to those little moments to try to figure out where that speed bump came from, where that dark hole is, and how to fill it in with Jesus. Because the power of the blood overcomes everything. So we know that. But going back there is extremely hard. So I think that something that I did say today, and I truly stand by, and it's not something that I have always, it's not an approach that I've always had, but I think we used to fight with the idea that we could just leave each other. Like, maybe not so much you as me, but it's like, fine, this isn't working, I'm going to run. Fine, this isn't working, I'm going to run. Every time we fought. And it was like there was, in the back of my mind, it was like there was always this out. Like, fine, we'll just go our separate ways and I'll figure out how to support myself because I'm hard-headed like that and I will take care of the kids and yada, yada, yada. And today it was just like, okay, I love you. I don't like where we're at currently. I know we need some work. I know there's things that we need to work on, but you're stuck with me and I'm stuck with you. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, there's just this place of love and respect that is growing, that even in the midst of confrontation, I can feel that growing. So I think that's something that's different for us now than what has been, is just despite the differences, despite the disagreements, you know, it's
And I only, you know, open the door to this conversation so that maybe we can paint a picture of the inside looking out a little bit and expose some of the blooper reels that really do exist. That, you know, in what is still what I would consider a healthy marriage, there is still conflict. There is still levels of discontent that you will have with your mate. I mean, you are not me and I am not you. Mm-hmm. And we both find that out more and more every day. And the things that grow different between people often find psychologically are the things that you were attracted to about the other person. And so it's always sort of ironic to bring up the differences when you're upset. You know, this is how you do it. This is how, not how I do it. But when you take yourself back to the core or the root of how did you even get to the intercept of being with that person, it is the fact that they were different in so many of those actual areas that drew you in. And now you're using that as a platform for why you are justifying or arguing for your frustration. And again, these things can be major, and some things are a bit more catastrophic than others. There are certain habits that I think that are probably just irrefutably unacceptable. You know, I don't think any marriage is going to stay healthy for very long if you're consistently operating on a spectrum of disloyalty or introducing other men or women into your marriage, sure. Socials, those kind of things. But, you know, sometimes that's not even what you hear the most of. A lot of times it's like, well, you're not a clean person. And it bothers me now.
Well, and since this door has been open for us, it's we are battling technology. We are battling the priority of time for you and I. That's so just in the complaints from the wifely complaints of, you know, I'm a quality time kind of person. So my complaint this week, and I say this week, things get to a point where it's like, we've not had a date night and we've not had dedicated time together and we've not prioritized us. And we both get to the end of the day and we want to veg out, whether it's scrolling, whether it's playing a game on our phones, whether it's whatever. You are running a business. You are also a project manager for, you know, your real job in quotations. You always have something going, and I love and admire that about you. I just sometimes feel like it gets to be a bit much, so I'm constantly battling the text messages and there's not boundaries, and I think that so many people, if I had to guess, if we polled 100 married couples, I guarantee you this would be a common topic.
I would say.
And I think that's the part that we can talk vaguely on here and we can beat around the bush, but let's just be real. This is a real topic. It's time and it's priority. And I don't care if you've been married 10 days or 10 years, or for us, we're almost 23 years this year. We still have to prioritize it. Marriage is always work. And when one day goes by, 2 days go by, 3 days go by, and you're not communicating and you're not connecting, even if it's just about what's going on in our days, before you know it, you've got weeks that have gone by, you've not connected, and then poof, something big happens with work, something big happens in the business, something big, and you missed all the details moving up to that point. So it almost comes as a shock because it's like, well, where did that come from? I had no idea. And then you can be like, well, we've been working on it for 6 months. Well, okay, I didn't know. You know, it's hurtful, but at the same time, I can sit back and see how overwhelmed you are, how busy you are, how much your mind is going a million miles an hour. But if we can prioritize other things, if we can prioritize other people outside of our home, which I know God calls us to do, right? God calls us to minister. God calls us to disciple and mentor and build the friendships. We need that desperately. Anybody needs that. That's not just you and I, but we as a community, we need community. We need to work on our marriage. We need to invest in our marriage no differently than we do outside places. And I'm just as guilty as being the Debbie Downer of, you want to go to dinner tonight? No, my stomach's been upset all day. Or, I don't know, what do you want? What sounds good to you? And then before you know it, we've gone back and forth because we're in decision paralysis, and because we've made decisions all day, or we haven't made decisions all day and we just don't want to make decisions. I don't know. And then we don't do anything. We don't go anywhere. We don't spend that time together. We don't put our phones aside and just say, we are going to watch a movie without distraction. Like, sometimes it doesn't even require any effort. It's just, let's just be. I think we have, as a generation, we have created this idea that being busy is successful. And I know we talked about this the other week. It's like, oh, the more we have going, the more important we are, and the more this we are, and the more that we are. When really, I think
there's also this newly founded idea that you have to be accessible all the time.
Yes.
That because
instant response.
Because I have a cell phone. Well, you know, what used to be, tell me if I'm wrong here, but for us growing up, let's take us back to where our parents were, where we are now. There really wasn't a cell phone. If there was, it might have stayed in the car, or it probably got turned off when it came in the house because you didn't need it. You were at the house, right? If the house phone rang, it was usually a problem because that's the last line of effort somebody got to. It was usually a bit, and you didn't just go passing around your number. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't on your business card. It wasn't on your business sign. Like, it was a problem if your house phone rang. Somebody actually needed something at that point. Right now, people just assume everybody has. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had the same number for 20 plus years. Yep. It doesn't matter, you know, day or night. And it gets even worse now that text message, and I am the most guilty offender about this. I really don't want to talk to people on the phone because I want to be able to come in and out of a conversation. So I will text people probably at inopportune times and impose upon them that need or that sense of
urgency
when there really wasn't one.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. Sometimes I will feel this inward desire, like, you texted me and you need an answer now. What happens if I don't give you one?
Right.
So there's that fight. And then there's also this entire idea around just not being, for me, not being able to turn off.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Back in July, over the 4th of July weekend, it was the first time I think we've had kind of a week out of our bubble for a while. We haven't had that amount of time away from our home, in quite some time. And even during that week, I had an extremely hard time disconnecting from everything else. And it's taken me several months of trying to analyze even some of the kind of the fights that we had over that week. Because mm-hmm. you and I, we had it out over some stuff that happened on quote-unquote vacation, mm-hmm. you know. And
but if you look back, it's the same conversations we had this week.
It's
the same general idea.
And so where does all this go? I mean, one end of the spectrum is no better than the other. If we go full tilt and say, all right, you know, 5 o'clock, I'm walking in the door, phones off, you're bound to miss something. It's probably going to have an impact. It could be in your job. It could be lost revenue. Who knows?
Do I think that having boundaries of saying, okay, 7, 8 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock, from 7 on, I'm inaccessible.
Yeah.
I don't think having a boundary set and saying, okay, this is a vacation day, I'm taking a vacation I am disconnecting.
I think you're right. And that's kind of where I was going with that statement, is that it's like there's got to be this middle ground between I am still responsible for things. As a supervisor, as a leader of whether it be the business or the quote unquote real job. You know, I do have things that do happen at inopportune times that I have to solicit a response to.
But I also think that you have to step back and look at yourself because you are the exception. The majority of people are leaving their real jobs at 5 o'clock and they're going home and that's it.
That's it.
You know this. There are very few handfuls that are dealing with anything after they go home. So why is it important to you at 7 o'clock at night, at 8 o'clock at night?
I think it's that whole, that whole FOMO personality.
Yeah.
Straight up fear of missing out. What happens now?
Yeah.
What happens if I answer this in the
morning? If I don't do this, then somebody else is going to come in and take my place, or they're it's not going to be enough. But then you set an unrealistic expectation for yourself. Your employers now see this overachieving, oh, I can take advantage of you. Not that that's what's happening here, but let's be real.
Well, you set other people's expectations of you now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, this is completely okay. I'll text him. He's going to answer.
I love your desire to run the business, and this business has grown so much over the last few years and is very successful, and I'm so proud of you. I just think there's times it can get turned off. Like, it's okay that there are other people running things, and it's okay. If there's an emergency, I get that, but setting the standard of, okay, you guys have got this, it's also relinquishing trust and relinquishing control. And I think those are both two things that are hard for you, because you don't trust easily.
No.
And you don't allow others to do things in a different way that you would, but still accomplish the same goal. It's something that we battle in our home because we're both very type A. Like,
I thought you were an O negative.
I am O negative, but anyway.
If you need blood, call Chrissy. She's got the
I got the hookup,
the catch all. So if I hear what you're saying, me turning off is going to turn you on.
I mean, if that's how you want to make that out to be, I don't know. Maybe you could try it and find out.
I am very much like the zoo experiment. You know, you just got to give me a treat. I'll ring
the
a bell.
Rat.
Yeah, I'll ring a bell every time I get a treat. Oh, so I'm super simple. I'm a very core creature. We'll try it out. We'll let you know what the results next podcast. But listen, guys, what we really wanted to kind of share and what was on my heart was just being real for a moment. I mean, we've always promised to be real, and hopefully we've been able to do that. But what I don't think either one of us ever want to do is set a pretense that everything's okay. There are some great times. There are some good times. And there are some times that we have absolutely just been on a high, and things are amazing. So it's not, I'm not here to say, oh my gosh, we're living this downtrodden life. Things are horrible. We just put on a face. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that we ebb and we flow in a healthy way. And I think we're only getting better at crisis management through reps. It's the same. I mean, you go to the gym and you push the same weight every day. Eventually you can push it to where you need to add more, and your strength goes up, and then you push and you push and you push, and then you put more on.
And what is our Heavenly Father looking at us like that? Like, okay, I'm putting them through reps. I'm putting them through reps. They have reached this point of now I think that they are ready for more. And that could be more responsibility. That could be more blessing. That could be more opportunity. That could be more change. It could be more challenges.
It's definitely more testimony.
Absolutely. So when you look at the things that God's placing in our life, it's there for a reason. You know, I think just continuing to go back to remember, He has already gone ahead of us. He already knows the path that we're going to go. Are we walking alongside of Him? Are we grabbing His hand and saying, how can I be the best helpmate for you, God, in your path that you have for me? Or are we constantly battling, trying to do it our own way? And I feel like in our marriage, we have grown so much in that place of really accepting each other. I just feel like I feel like there's this, even in the unanswered and unresolved conflicts, just this piece of, okay, you're my person. We're going to do life together. We are doing life together. And God is going to refine all of these spaces and places that we continue to surrender to Him. And the more we surrender and the more we give up control, the more we grow and the more he continues to work in us. So
I still wish there was a replay button, though. Sometimes you could just scroll it back real quick and say, hey, let me see that again. How could I have done differently right there? Like, what could I have done in that moment? You know, we don't get that.
But I think that's these kind of moments that we take in, these really raw. Again, guys, I had no idea what I was walking into today. We don't rehearse these. Sometimes we'll have conversation before and it'll give us an idea of what we're talking about. But today is just us spitballing exactly the raw realness of life. And, you know, connecting with other people, I feel like there's more of us out in the world than there isn't. And we want to listen to, I know we love, have really grown a love for listening to different podcasts and this encouraging, upbeat stuff. And I love that encouragement. I hope we can be an encouragement of a different type to share where we're at in the struggles, but also share that we are growing and we are really thriving. I do feel like we're thriving. I do feel like God is moving in us. Our kids are doing wonderful. All three of them are really in what I feel like some of the best places each of them have been in their young lives. I am 6 days, 5 days away from taking an LSAT exam, and I am confident that God's glory is going to be seen in all of this, whatever that looks like. You are very doing wonderful in your job, and the business is going wonderful. So, like, I just see us all in great places. If we stay consumed with the negative, then we're going to be consumed with the negative. But if we stay in the place of positive, and even in the disagreements, we're still going to grow.
So there was, I was writing for my small group some literature for my lesson plans. And there were four things that you got at a conference that you got to go to. Do you remember what they were?
Know God.
Yep. Find freedom, right?
Yeah. Discover purpose. Your purpose.
What was number four?
I'd have to go get my book.
Okay. Well, we won't worry about it. But it's all those little things when you start adding
build
them up.
Legacy, build legacy, I think.
Yep. It's all of those things that when you start sharing them together, like that conference was centered around leadership in particular.
Yeah.
But when you begin to just extract that, how practical is the application of those in that cycle of if you find yourself lost, hey, I don't know what to do here. Let me just kind of work myself through those parts of it. It's really stuck out to me because when you came home, you believed in them. And every time I've asked you, you've passionately believed in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed so much about my view on something I didn't even know.
Yeah.
In that context. And then more so just one last riff on what you were just saying and the kind of the power of positivity. And this isn't false hope. You know, this isn't a locker room speech of, you know, you're down by 50 points at the halftime.
Right.
And you gotta, this is like legitimate power of positivity. And what I think we would call selective admissions, in that, you know, we can come home from a day and we can download every crappy thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's a place in a space that I trust you, you trust me, and we've got to offload that a little bit or even a lot sometimes because nobody else needs to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that over and over and over and over again.
Right.
If you find yourself only ever able to export everything that is negative. Again, all you're doing is unbalancing the scales and bringing your spouse down.
Right.
And so I think that's a very important kind of closing thing another part of this week is that one of the things that you've begun to change in me systematically is I am learning to filter the data that comes out. It's not because you don't need to know. It's not even stuff that you can't know.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a time and a place when I say, yeah, that happened, and it was kind of a junky day for me. But maybe it's not every single day.
Right.
At the download portion of it. Sometimes
it's all about your perspective too, because if your perspective coming home every day, and it's something that we talked about this week, you know, as spouses, if we are giving everybody else our best and our spouse is only getting what's left, which could be the bottom of the barrel junk from the day, how does that grow your marriage? How does, yes, you have a bad day and you want to talk about it. Okay, fine. But when it is every single day, it's like, what are we giving each other? Are we giving each other the best of ourselves, or are we giving each other the junk? And, you know, it's a very unique and trying season of going through these moments, from a giving end and a receiving end. It's trying on both sides, because on the giving side, you're frustrated and it's been a bad day and it's like everything's going wrong. On the receiving side, it's like, well, I had a pretty good day until you got home. And it's like, how do you interject that? And when you try to change it to be like, well, maybe this or maybe that or maybe this or maybe you can do this tomorrow, maybe. And it's like everything's met with resistance. Like, do you really want to have a better day tomorrow, or do you just want to gripe and complain every day? Like, kind of what it was.
Yeah.
But it's both sides. We both have to figure out how to manage and work through.
I agree. Well, for all you guys listening, we have slowly gotten to the end when we didn't even have anything set out. So it's always amazing to me that we can sit and have these level of recorded conversations, party of two.
Absolutely.
And just get through it. But it's definitely, I think, one of the most enjoyable parts for me, if you don't mind, is I really enjoy listening to you pray.
Aww.
I think you have just an absolute spirit of prayer that comes out, and I love the emotion that follows your prayer. It is certainly a language that God has given you a gift for. So,
oh, I love that.
Do you mind if I have you kind of close us out with prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father God, you are so amazing, and I thank you so much for all of the opportunities that you continue to place in front of our family, in front of Kenny and I, in front of each of us individually, God. You are just blessing our walks. You are blessing our daily lives. And I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your continued patience in dealing with us being human, God. I the decisions that we've made over the years, we can look back and just see the silliness of it all, and also see, God, how you are working in every single one of them. I thank you so much for this outlet, for this venue, God, for us to be able to share our life, to share our story to everyone who is listening. God, we know that you are going to bless these words. You're going to bless the ears that are listening, God. And I just pray for all of the marriages, for all of the couples, for all of the individuals who are listening now, God, whatever they're dealing with in their home, whether it be big, whether it be small, whether it's really life-shattering situations, God, I just pray blessings. I pray for peace and joy and unity in the conflict, God. Whether there are things that can be changed immediately, whether it's heart posture, God, if it's finances, if it's intimacy, job security, God, I know that you have your hand over these marriages. I know that this union of husband and wife is the most important union to you, God. And I thank you for our spouses. I thank you for those that are listening, God, that have welcomed us into their homes, into their cars, into their workspaces, God. I just thank you for them trusting us and wanting to listen. And thank you for using us as a place to hear you, God. The whole goal, this is not to gain glory for us, God, but for us to shine your light, to bring people to your kingdom, to give hope where hope feels like it's lost, to give love and support and understanding in situations when maybe people are feeling really alone.
So if you are that person right now feeling alone, whether you're the husband or the wife, or maybe you're single and don't know if marriage is in your future, know that God has you. God has all of your situations right in His hands. He has perfectly ordained your spouse already. And if you're married and feeling alone, please know you're not. You always have others with you. And we are just so honored and blessed to have you join in with us. I pray for blessing over your families. I pray blessings over your children, over your jobs, your careers. I pray that God just gives you vision, clarity, and just focus on His path. If right now you are struggling with decision, struggling with conflict, struggling with things that seem like they're just never going to get resolved, I pray right now that you find peace in your heart, that you find resolution with God and resolution within yourself so that you can move forward. Continue surrendering all of your situations to Him, laying that conflict at the foot of the cross so that He can handle it, that it's not yours to handle. Relinquish that control. Let go of whatever it is that you think perfect looks like, and allow others to see the genuine, authentic you, the one that doesn't need a highlight reel, the one that's not worried about what other people think, the one that can laugh and smile and be joyful. God, I just thank you for every person listening right now, God. I pray this prayer just reaches hearts and souls of those that are hurting, of those that just need comfort to know that you are right there by their side. God, we thank you again for this platform and this outlet. Bless everyone listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for putting that prayer together for us.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And guys, we'll be back with you on the next one. Hopefully we can continue to get these a little bit closer together, because we certainly enjoy doing this together and with you guys.
Absolutely.
Until next time.
Bye.